Hey, parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
It is playoff time and it is Super Bowl weekend, and the usual suspects are heading to Vegas for the championship. Our partner BetOnline is your number one source for football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spreads to hundreds of bets on everything from the coin toss to the color of the Gatorade. BetOnline is your number one source for your championship wagering. Head to BetOnline and join today to get in on all the action. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. It's Patrick Bexell. It's Anton Rostergaard, the birthday boy and not the fugitive today. Happy birthday, Anton. 31st.
I'm getting old. I remember when I was just a young 26-year-old starting at Habsize on the Price. I'm 31, old and bitter, and the whole, you know, the best time of my life is behind me and it will never get as good again.
Well, you know,
I'm joking, obviously.
You know, the whole of USA is celebrating you today because they have this party in Vegas where two teams are supposed to play just for you.
Yes.
You know?
Go Niners.
We'll see how many times that you got to say that tonight. And unfortunately for everyone expecting it, Taylor Swift is not a guest on this podcast, at least. She might be in Vegas later on, though. But we're not here to talk about the Super Bowl. We're not here to talk about Taylor Swift. We're here to talk about a little bit of a European roundup out. But we're going to start with the European in NHL, someone that a lot of people had their doubts about last year, got injured and has come back with a vengeance. Juraj Slafkovský, what a season he's having.
Yeah, what a last month he's having. It's fascinating with these young guys. I remember talking about it with Matt and Jared, I think, before Christmas, that it's so difficult to really know what you have in a 19-year-old with high potential, because everything can just click from one week to another. And that's what we have seen from Juraj Slafkovský as well, where when he was lifted up to the first line and got to play with Suzuki and Caulfield and, you know, got some more power play time and all that, all of a sudden you saw a different confidence in him. Obviously, it helps when a few pucks bounce your way, you score a few goals, you feel that, well, I can handle myself at this stage now. But just, he looks really mature all of a sudden, and a completely different player from the one who was took his first baby steps a year ago in the NHL. He looks like he's finally growing into his body as well at this level, at the smaller rink, the smaller ice. No, it's really fascinating to watch him. He's quickly becoming a true favorite of mine, and I think a lot of other Canadiens fans as well.
Indeed, and I don't think it can be overstated that the draft year or the draft plus 1 year should probably not be measured in any retrospect when you look at players. The one that do handle it, like Bedard, they do it very, very well. But for a European especially, I think you look at it and they go over. And in Jura's case, he went over for the World Juniors that was cancelled. He went to Japan or to the Olympics, and then he played the World Cup, and then he had the draft combine. He had the draft. He stayed in Montreal, and he didn't get any time off the ice. And I think that didn't really prepare him for a first NHL season at that level. I was one of those that said he should have started in the AHL. I'm not sure that would have been better in hindsight, because he probably wouldn't have succeeded there either with a lack of recovery period. And you saw what happened when he got injured. He used that to build up his body, to work on things that he needed to work on in order to succeed. The good thing with being in NHL at that time, though, was the fact that he learned what he could do and what he needed to improve on.
Yeah,
and exactly. He has taken that to heart and built from it.
Yeah, exactly. I think it all comes down to, you can be as talented as they come, but everything comes down to how you handle adversity at the top level. If you want to be, if you want to be a high-end NHL player, we saw it with Cole Caulfield, who has scored his entire life, and then all of a sudden he goes into that slump. It was really his rookie slump, because since he made his debut during the playoffs, but during the Ducharme tenure, where he couldn't score. And he went down to the AHL for a few games, and he found his mojo. And since then, it's kind of been, even if he's had a lull this season as well, you kind of know that he will reach those 20-25 goals at a minimum, just because he knows. He has a few tricks up his sleeve now to get back to scoring ways. And I think that's the case for Slavkovsky as well. I think the mental exhaust of going from being a highly touted player to then all of a sudden breaking through at the international stage and basically leapfrogging Shane Wright for being the first overall pick and being Slovakia's first overall pick ever. All of that attention and coming to a high-profile hockey city like Montreal, who thirst for glory after 30 years, being the first overall pick in a long time in Montreal as well, it comes with a lot of pressure, and you have to just grow into that role of and playing your game, and not trying to be an Alexander Ovechkin or trying to be Sidney Crosby or something else, because that won't work. We've seen other players struggle coming out of the gate who have looked phenomenal at a junior level and international stage, Alex Lafreniere and Capocacco and a few others. Jack Hughes didn't just light the league on fire from the start, but it can take a few years. We have to remember as well, these guys are 18 when they're drafted. There are very few players who are a Connor McDavid and just built for this from a very, very young age. Most of them, it takes a while to get used to it. And as you say, as a European, it can take a while as well. Rasmus Dahlin is another example. Really excited for Slavkovsky. I love watching him play, and I think he complements that first line really well.
He compliments them off the ice as well. Charming, disarming smile, and easy to like because of his attitude, and his jokes a lot of the time. So I was never really in doubt of Slavkovsky as a prospect. I was doubting the way he was managed the first year, but in hindsight, you can't really fault anyone. It will take some time, and if you look at the players drafted after him, they haven't really succeeded in any way in the NHL either. So he is still the first overall pick in regards to stats and games, etc., etc.
Yeah, it's mainly like you could argue, especially earlier this season, you could have argued for Logan Cooley, for example. But you also have to remember what Montreal has and what Montreal lacked at the time of the draft. So yeah, we remember, if you listen back to the podcast ahead of the 2022 NHL draft, all of us were advocating Shane Wright to be the selection.
No, weren't you? All of us.
Were you advocating Slavkovsky?
Yes, I was.
All right. Well, it's European bias. It's
called. Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah. But I was in Montreal at the time.
For once, I was right.
Yeah. No, but like it was you and Grant McCagg, so you're in good company at least. Yeah. No, but like that's the thing. We all thought that, well, while Shane Wright hadn't been exactly divine in the OHL, he still had a higher ceiling, we thought, but look now a year down the line, and yeah, Cooley has 0.5 points per game on Arizona, and Slavkovsky is, you know, closing in on him this season alone. Obviously Slavkovsky played last season as well, so he has more games and more points, but you can make an argument for Simon Nemec, for example. Pavel Minchukov is doing really well, but
Jack hasn't really exploded onto the scene due to injuries as well. So
exactly, and you know, with retrospect, just watching getting Reinbacher, for example, this year and Slavkovsky last year, you get two bigger-bodied players who can play in different situations and lay their body on the line and can skate, and that complements Caulfield, Joshua Roy, Nick Suzuki, all these players quite well. Lane Hudson. I think Montreal is building something quite fun and energetic and dynamic for the future.
A nice transition there into David Reinbacher, who has mentioned and stated really that he wanted to finish school in Switzerland. He's there. Obviously, Kloten is having a terrible season. They fire their coach. The GM stepped in to fill that vacancy while looking for coaches, and I'm sure he has looked in outside Switzerland as well, at coaches in Finland and Sweden, in order to come in and help Kloten out of a dire situation that they are in, second to last in the standings at the moment, going into that relegation battle. And this is the problem with the relegation battles. We see it in Sweden as well, with Oskarshamn now, and in National League. We see it with Ajoi. They are so far behind, so they can start prepping for the relegation battle so much earlier. Last weekend we saw Hove 71, that is the second last team in SHL, win over Oskarshamn with 10-1. But come playoffs, where there's seven games, nerves, and the amount of money that is on stake for the club and for the community as a whole, pressure it's even more pressure playing that and playing in the final.
Oh, for sure. You have something like you have something major to lose. The Swedish league is just it's a bizarre kind of league where you have 14 teams, and one team can basically go the whole season without any points, and they still have an opportunity to remain in the top league because they play an automatic playoff at the end of the season against the second to last team over seven games. So,
and that's the way Switzerland is doing it as well.
Exactly. So it's just an absurd situation. But like, yeah. So It's
pressure is extremely close at that point, and nerves will be outside the shirts in many cases. IOG has a fantastic little arena, but the cram in places is a tough place to go. You don't want to be Claughton in that particular area and come relegation time. So I can understand people in North America being upset about the season and having three coaches in a couple of months. But you could also argue that the GM was the coach last year.
Yeah.
And he stepped in to fill a vacancy while looking for another coach. And so in essence, it's three coaches over 2 years, or even 3 years. So that makes it a little bit less chaotic. I think that, you know, this is a normal way. You see it in football. It happens sometimes. We know it happens that the assistant coach gets to fill in at some points in hockey and football as well, before they find that manager or coach that's going to take over and be in charge. So I don't see, I don't think Europeans see this as something terrible or something unusual.
No. It's David Reinbacher at least gets to practice his defensive game a lot.
And he is the best player on Claughton. Let's be honest about that as well. He's playing around 20 minutes a night.
Are you saying that he's better than Nathan Beaulieu?
Marginally. Okay. Especially when they play together, it's very easy to pick up even from the TV. Mm-hmm. But also you have this situation where the new coach is going in to play man-man versus a zone defense that they played the previous two seasons. So that might cause some errors, but it looks also that the knee injury and the arm injury that we know that Reinbacher has had has been keeping him a little bit safe. He hasn't dared do as many things as we thought he would do. And I think, and this is pure speculation of me, but he's not with the Austrian team that lost 6-0 to France and 3-2 to Norway this weekend. He's not with that. Rohrer is. But my guess is that Reinbacher is taking this week to recuperate and get ready for the last part of the season that is necessary, where he will need to step up in order for Claughton to crawl over that relegation battle line and just stay in the top league.
It's an Italian coach as well, right?
Coming in for Claughton. I don't know.
Stefan Meyer from Bolzano in Italy. Never heard of an Italian hockey coaches.
Correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Bolzano playing in the Austrian league?
It wouldn't surprise me, since it's very close to the border there. But Italian head coaching. Yeah, absolutely. Interesting.
The good thing is that it will be between the Lakers and the Flyers. Mm. Sounds great, right? The basketball team against the hockey team. Who ends up in that relegation battle with Ajoy? Interesting to say the least. Reinbacher, though, it might not have been the season where we expected it to be. We were keenly aware, the ones that follow European hockey, that Claughton would not be a top team in the Swiss League. The budgets between the teams are wider than anywhere else in Europe. The top teams are probably turning over three, maybe even four times the money than the bottom team. So it is uneven in that way. There's no cap. Import players were raised, the number of them that could be used, which means that the top teams get even more or even better in regards to the bottom teams. But Reinbacher has played a lot. He's been injured, unfortunately, but he's played a lot. He's played with different players, which hasn't really helped his progress. But his work ethic is strong. He looks a lot better in front of the net. He's working hard in the corners. He's reading the game very well. And now the last few games before this international break, he's started to partly produce, but also to actively transport the puck up the ice. Good zone exits, good zone exits. And he's closed down his end of the defensive entries as well, or shutting out the zone entries from the opposing team.
Yeah. And, you know, just getting minutes. I was afraid that it was going to be a season totally derailed by injuries, but now he's at least getting to play. And since his future won't be in Kloten, it doesn't matter as much. As we see from Slavkovsky now, don't make too many assumptions based on one season on a bad team, because these 18-year-olds just need to play to develop. And then if they were to have a bad season, you can actually save it by coaching them better the next year. So we all assume Slavkovsky, Reinbacher will come over and play in North America for next year. And it will be interesting to see him. It will be very fun to see him down the line playing with Caden Gooley, for example. I think those two could be creating havoc for years to come. But or maybe they will anchor one pairing each. But I'm still fairly confident in the Reinbacher pick at five. I think it, while not being a flashy choice, I think it was a wise choice. If you look at the cards you were dealt at the fifth pick in the draft.
I think it was Johan Cruyff that said that in soccer, the right defender starts 90% of the attacks. And I'm not sure it's translatable to hockey, but that's the kind of player you're looking at with Reinbacher, and he is that kind of setup man and starting the attack. He can finish it as well, but his main strength is closing down the zone entries and taking the puck up the ice, and that is something that I think everyone needs to understand, and you're not going to get maybe the point totals of, you know, Hughes or Erik Karlsson or players like that. You're gonna look at, you know, another kind of player, but that player that everyone wants to draft because they are so expensive to trade for.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's if you can draft those players, it's those kind of players that, if you look back at what Mark Bergevin said when he drafted Jesperi Kotkaniemi, for example, don't have to linger on that, but just that it's difficult to trade for certain types of players. Power forwards who are 6'5 and can skate are one of them. Good quality two-way centers who can play top line or second line minutes are another, and right-handed defensemen who are what you can call a 200-foot player from a defensive position are a third. So I think that David Reinbacher has a bright future, and hopefully in Montreal.
Looking at the international break, and all, it almost passed us through, but Sweden is currently playing Finland in Beijer Hockey Games, this time held in Karlstad, in where Färjestad usually plays, and top line center Oliver Kapanen.
Yeah, another youngster who is developing. Do you think he's developing as he should, or should he be further along by this time compared to last year?
If he was it 2 or 3 weeks younger, he would have been in the next year's draft, right?
True.
So maybe he is at that level where he should be. And I think this is the kind, when Europeans talk about, you know, development for future NHLers, I think Kapanen's progress is what we're expecting. Maybe we had hoped for it to be a little bit faster, but essentially, you want the player to be part of the national team before they go over to North America, be it in the NHL or be it in the AHL, because it means that if they go to the AHL, they're going to be top pairing or top line players. And I think going to the AHL for a young kid and start playing third line, fourth line minutes, it's not going to increase his confidence all the time. And Kapanen, has played well in Kalpa for a long time. Defensively, he's always been sound. My minor thing is there are two minor things really they merge together in a way, is that his offense always comes in patches and catch-up effect in a way. And I think the fact is that he's so dependent on his confidence. So when he has confidence, everything goes in. But when he doesn't, he squeezes the stick a little bit too hard. And in that case, everything goes outside instead. Or it's not hard enough, or it's not tipped that high enough, so the goalie can make that save instead. And I think this is a player that will go to the AHL next year. If he doesn't, he will earn top line minutes in Kalpa and continue there. But I have no doubt that Montreal will sign him. They don't need to sign him this year. They can wait another year, give him those 4 years in Europe, depending on how the lines look in Laval. But it's a very we always talk about going over early in comments and everything, and I understand why Canadians fans want players in Laval or in well, if they're in the team, then it doesn't matter. But to go over to Laval early because of rink size doesn't matter that much, especially not in Finland where they have hybrid ice and even a rink that is shorter than the normal ice. For pros, you practice a couple of 3 weeks and then you're into it, especially if you keep playing on it all the time. But you want the players to become members of the national team because that's the next logical step. And that shows that they are good enough to play in the AHL.
So basically what you're saying, now that he's playing first line minutes for Team Finland, he should go to the AHL.
Yeah, I think so. The best thing would be to see him maybe as a third line center in the World Championships. But yeah, I think he will go. I thought he would go before I knew he was playing the national team this year, in this week. But this is the kind of progression you want to see. You want to see him become top or at least part of the national team when the AHL players isn't there. Preferably on the top lines, in order for him to make that statement that he can survive the AHL.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just looking at his stats as well. He's on pace for 31 points this season, which would be 4 more than last year. So you could argue that he has more responsibility this year. And I think as well that it could be that he comes over to Laval and needs to not adapt to the size, obviously, but just getting a year of adapting to playing away from home for the first time, and you know, being on the road for as long as you are, and long traveling and all this, and more games. So I can see a situation where he comes over either in the spring if things don't work out well for Kalpa in Liga, or he comes over during the summer and plays at least a year in the AHL and gets his groove on there. Then I think down the line, it all comes down to who develops better out of him and Owen Beck, basically, because they both fit that mold of being a future third line center if it works out as we hope for both of them. And if it's a possibility of having Kapanen and Beck as your third and fourth line center, I think you're in a pretty good spot.
Especially on entry level deals where you know,
exactly.
you don't chunk away a lot of that cap space that you need for other areas, right? Speaking about development, and we're not going to linger as much on Eriksson, but fantastic to see him get the chance to play 20 minutes a night, to play that in Hockey Allsvenskan with a rookie team in Hockey Allsvenskan as well. So it's not going to, you know, Björklöven or Brynäs or Djurgården that we sort of expect to be the top teams. But he's in Nybro, which is a small town team. He's getting the big minutes. He's eating minutes in penalty kill. He's running the power play. He's the hub of the power play. And, you know, 16 points in 13 games. That's a pace that we don't even want to consider. But it's also Hockey Allsvenskan. So it is a step down below from SHL, but it's still a pro league. It's seasoned pros. It's North Americans playing there. So it's arguably what? Is it at the same level as the Czech league or Slovak league?
Yeah, probably. How do you think it compares to the German league?
It's better than the German league.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Probably, I mean, better than the Austrian or Mountain League or Alpliga or whatever they call it now.
Yeah.
But it is, and it's better than the Danish and Norwegian leagues as well. And that's for sure. But it's an interesting thing. I've spoken with the GM, as you're keenly aware if you read Ice on the Prize. They're going to keep him in Nybro until Nybro's season is over, and then he can come back to and play the playoffs with Växjö, either the under 20s or the representation team, or even both. He has a gold medal from last year in the playoffs, and Växjö is looking pretty solid to be running for gold this year again, Anton. And that is mainly the reason why Eriksson is out on loan, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And this is the situation again, where, you know, if you want someone to be able to contribute with more offense and potentially being something more for you than just a bottom six forward, then this is great, because he gets to play more minutes in Nybro and he gets to develop his game. He gets to make mistakes and try things before settling into the SHL. We know as well that you can't just automatically expect a Hockey Allsvenskan dominant player to grow into being a fantastic player in the SHL and then AHL and the NHL, but as we've seen with Jakob Olofsson. But it's just, Filip Eriksson is an interesting prospect, first of all, because since he was injured for most of his draft season, it could be that you were getting a second, third round value in the sixth round because of his uncertain physical status.
Yeah, and also only playing two SHL games and what was it, four?
And six in the playoffs and
yeah,
0 points.
Well, where the average time was 30 seconds, I think.
Yeah, for sure. No, but,
he played one or two under 20 games as well. So you don't have, if you haven't scouted him a lot before, and let's remember, he was in Troja before, he was not in Växjö.
Yeah.
So if you haven't scouted him a lot, he's going to fly under the radar.
Yeah, as you said, like, he was in the J20 Regional League for his draft minus 1 year, right? Mm-hmm. And so he had like 1.5 points per game, basically. And then he left for Växjö, where he played in total. He dressed for 22 games in his draft season, 8 with the SHL team and 14 with the J20 national team, where he had just under a point per game. It doesn't sound impressive in that regard, but as we said, injuries and all that. So just seeing him, like, he held his own at the SHL level as well. It was just that it was in a limited capacity. But I can imagine now with, Team Sweden, for example, not going all the way at home in the World Juniors. I can imagine that they kind of wish that, if we had had Filip Eriksson have this development before December, it would have been great to have him on the team and contribute.
I was looking at that team, though. I'll be honest to say that. And yeah. I spoke with it when I was in Rögle watching Rögle and Adam Engström with the Växjö beat writers. Mm. And they were also saying, like, if you look at that team, you're not sure who you take away in order to replace him with Eriksson. Hindsight is great, and you could also argue that he was used in a different capacity because Östlund was playing in the World Juniors. So therefore, he got more exposure, he got used to the tempo. He says that coming to Hockey Allsvenskan, the tempo is a little bit slower, he's getting more space, and that has yielded the results that he's having. But It's an interesting development, and I like it. I also like it that it's literally an hour away from Växjö. Växjö keeps tabs on him. I spoke with Jörgen Jönsson, Växjö coach. He was saying, "Yeah, I watch the games. Of course I do. It's my player. I need to see him." And they were so aware that he was going to get heavy minutes, used in all areas, and he didn't take it as a being relegated or being turned away. He took it as, "I want to play hockey. I need to develop." And in order to take that third line center spot that is open because Östlund is leaving for NHL, and so is Viktor Stjernborg. So you're gonna get that those places in Växjö next year, and Eriksson is the front runner right now. Anything above a third line center role for Eriksson is a bonus next year.
Yeah,
And
for
we're
sure.
gonna see, keep seeing that development. You want the same kind of development path that Kapanen has had in a way.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. It will be. It's just nice to see these late round picks blossom when they get the opportunity to well, to flourish in a bigger capacity. Just grown with the added responsibility. And even if it's at a lower level right now, you could easily see him just keeping this confidence over the summer and becoming at least a more integral part of the Växjö team going forward. And hopefully being able to in a few years contribute in the AHL and NHL as well.
You will definitely see it, his confidence in development camp. That's for sure. I will. I also think that you build on this. One thing that is in a way problematic with Växjö is that, and you can disagree with me if you want, Anton, but it's just a very controlled kind of play. They don't play the trap, but they play very controlled, very structured. The free-flowing nature maybe of NHL isn't what he's practicing, and that might, because I can see Eriksson go to the AHL in a couple of years, that might be the thing that you need to challenge him with. The one thing that stands out as well is that he plays better as a center at SHL level than he does play on the wing, which is something that you don't see young players do really.
No, exactly. You mostly hear about centers being more adapted to going on to on, going onto the wing because it's less pressure there. To actually see someone who, even if he has played mostly center, to just that he looks more confident playing that role and anchoring a line at the age of 18, 19, it's a good sign.
Indeed, it is, and you've been listening to Absent-Minded, a little bit of a European roundup, even if we started with Slavkovsky in the NHL. Fantastic to see him blossom as well and getting that confidence that we all hoped he would have. Anton, I want to congratulate you once more and wish you a happy birthday. Do stay up too late tonight to watch the Super Bowl.
I will, for sure. There is nothing stopping me.
Thank you all for listening, and you enjoy Super Bowl as well.
This episode was brought to you by Bet Online.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.